Hi, Jordi. Thank you so much for joining me on our Slice of Mentorship podcast.
Thanks very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I want to jump right in to mentorship. So could you share a little bit of your background and how you became involved with mentorship programs?
Well, I guess about 17 years ago, I was looking to shorten my commute and work a little bit more local. And I had saw a job posting for an economic development officer. And like many in the economic development field, I ended up here by accident. But it did suit my interests and skills. I had just finished my MBA a few years prior and had been volunteering for as a management consultant with nonprofits in strategic planning. So seeing their boards and the mentorship that they had given, working with them on their planning, and then just transferring those skills to small business, I guess, is how I launched into it. And previously, my first degree is in physical education. So I had done a lot of coaching on my own with sports and athletic teams. And I mean, that always involves a form of mentorship as well, and running sport programs for, you know, bringing in the youngsters to help them. And so I had been involved in mentorship on my own, and becoming a part of Community Futures and transferring those skills to business was just a natural fit.
And just to follow up on economic development group that you joined after your MBA degree, what kind of a mentorship program was there at that time? Or what kind of first like formal mentorship program did you experience or saw?
There was nothing formal when I first joined. We had done a survey, I guess, of business folks in one of our municipalities. Our municipality had done the survey. And one of the biggest fears of a business was not knowing what they don't know. And no matter, you know, how much school you take or what you try, sometimes it's just nice to sit down and talk to somebody who has been there, done that. And well, thinking we can help facilitate that. And of course, you know, formally it's called mentorship. So we looked at developing a training program that took some of that education that entrepreneurs might not already have, those business basics, and pairing them with a local mentor and having that somebody to sit down and talk with on a, you know, what seems like a very casual basis, to talk about their issues and some of their successes and perhaps, you know, what has the business owner that has a lot of experience seen and done in the community.
I might not have shared this with you. My first experience with mentorship was similar. I created a structured training program and I thought I would throw in a mentorship component, and it failed miserably. Like, it didn't work. People didn't know what was expected of them. They did crazy things to each other without like over communication on my part. Everyone was confused and unhappy. They liked the overall program, the curriculum, but they hated the mentorship piece. Was your first like dabble in mentorship successful?
Well, unlike that, we took a year to research and develop our program.
Wow.
Simply because we were lucky. We applied for a grant. And so it gave us a little bit of time and money to really research into it. I worked with a couple of our local universities. They had peer mentoring programs. So I looked at the structure that they had. I looked at some of the documentation. I talked to people who had been in it. And just like you said, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, this has happened. This is how you mitigate that. So I was lucky to be mentored by those that had already run programs very similarly. And they had said to me, start small, get your ducks in a row, but be prepared for setbacks. They're going to happen. People are people. We have lots of emotions, but these are typically things that will not go well. So here's ways you can avoid that. So we were set up really well. in that case. Not that we didn't have things that went sideways, for sure, but we were really fortunate.
So from that experience to your current roles, could you talk a little bit how your approach to mentorship has evolved over time?
Mentorship over time, we have been able to refine some of the processes so that we go into our programs with very clear expectations, very clear on both parties, the entrepreneurs and the mentors. We also find that having an endpoint for the program, for example, one of our programs is 8 months, another is 18 months. And that also helps the mentor entrepreneur relationship, knowing that there is an endpoint, because if something isn't working well or people are losing interest, there's always an out. What we have found, though, is our mentors and entrepreneurs stay friends. They still, you know, maybe their program time has ended, but they still meet for coffee every once in a while. They chat business. And so they still do maintain that connection. And we have found in our programs that community has become the most important fiber that we have woven, and with all these connections that we have made with new entrepreneurs and experienced business owners, and the good of it that has come out. I mean, not every business is successful or continues on, but the relationships are still important, and that's what we're finding out what really matters.
I guess as someone who was a little bit like thrown into a mentorship program, I think the biggest challenge was for me, how do you get from a place of chaos or just getting started to a place where people open up and start building trust and start like trusting each other in the program? Do you have any specific advice?
Again, we are a big believer in process. We do a lot of upfront work to make sure that everybody understands what should and what could happen. Also, what's not going to happen? Mentorship is not about a mentor solving all the business problems or taking on issues or being very prescriptive. You shall do this. You're making sure that those expectations are really clear. We also have, you know, it sounds weird, but we have a bunch of forms that we outline, you know, this is the best way to contact each other, and I'll reply within 2 hours, or, you know, I may only reply within a day, so that we manage those expectations of the entrepreneur saying, oh, my mentor's ghosting me. Well, no, it's only been a couple hours. It's okay. They will get back to you. Right. So, you know, we really make sure that those expectations are really clear right from the outset, and that the mentor isn't there to solve everything. They're certainly going to help navigate some of those challenges, but not particularly to come in and save anybody.
You've mentioned experience with coaching and sports, also with building mentorship programs from ground up. And I know you've been involved in the structured program using MIT Venture Mentoring Service model. So could you talk a little bit about the differences between more structured, more unstructured programs and programs that have one-on-one or like relationship versus some team approach? What's your assessment, and when would you recommend one program over the other?
I think they're both highly important, and depending on where a business is, both can be super helpful. We have run a mentorship program that has one-to-one mentors for the past 10 years, and it's been wildly successful. The businesses that we mentor in the program are startups. Either they have a business idea or they're in their first 3 years. And typically, any business owner has experienced those startup pains. You know, it's many businesses face similar challenges. And often having a mentor that has been grounded in that community. They run their business for the past 15 years in that community. They understand, they know some of those unwritten rules that aren't there, but, you know, help businesses be more successful. And they really help one-to-one that way. And they typically have most of the skills to help an entrepreneur. And if they don't have those skills, they certainly know somebody in the community that can. So we had found that, you know, our entrepreneurs were finishing that program and moving on in their business and, you know, could be 4 or 5, you know, 7 years later, they're this highly successful, you know, looking at expansion, they're in a high growth phase and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, like I really need that mentorship back. And we went to the MIT model, which is the team-based mentorship based on some of the varied skill sets that we could bring and perhaps create a little mini board of directors for that business that they would have, you know, a lot of different skill sets from many industries to talk about, you know, perhaps, you know, exporting, or if they're looking to expand in other ways, or human resource. I mean, dealing with people is another skill set. So really, the two definitely have merit. And we really felt that the team-based approach for a business in a high growth phase would be extremely helpful to navigate some of those challenges and what do I do and how do I go about this and how should I structure and, you know, different things that they need to think about when they're moving from, you know, perhaps under 5 employees to a lot more, or, you know, a different location or different spaces. So finding that one-to-one and team-based mentorship has different kind of applications and uses. And we really try to utilize everyone in our area that perhaps, you know, if you're expanding your business, you're going to be looking outside your community and not all the mentors will have all the experience that you need that actually live there. So that we were looking at expanding that knowledge base.
There is one kind of intuition that I have, and I wanted to get your perspective on it. And that's how I explained the team mentorship program to founders who applied. I would tell them that ideal relationship is one-on-one, when you get the person that you kind of have chemistry with and who's been on a similar journey as you, and they're just at the next or a couple levels ahead of you and they have similar experience, and that would be ideal. But it's very hard to get, especially in a structured format. The second best thing is you get not perhaps ideal people, but you get the group who complement each other, and you get a program which provides the backbone and structure that allows you to change the team as you need to change. So it's not ideal in terms of individual mentor fit, but it's as close to ideal as you can get in a structured, systematic, and repeatable way. Does it make sense, or am I making this stuff up?
No, that's exactly it. We don't expect everybody to have every possible skill out there, and putting a team together that has varied skills, varied background, different industries, I think is extremely valuable for an entrepreneur, and having all those different perspectives often leads to, you know, different ways of thinking, right? So I do agree that, yeah, perhaps that relationship, that one-to-one relationship isn't quite as strong. But at that point, yeah, you're looking to build your business and you need those perspectives.
I wanted to follow up in terms of all those mentorship programs that you were involved in. How did you measure success? How did you know that the programs were working out well?
We really looked at the goals of the entrepreneurs and whether they were achieving them or making progress. Of course, not every goal is going to be achieved in X amount of time, but are they making progress that they can track and they feel that they are being successful? That's one of the ways that we've tracked success of our programs. We also look at how the mentors and the entrepreneurs, they do an evaluation of each other. We look at where we can grow the program. You know, are we lacking a particular skill set. Okay, you know, we're looking for somebody that has expertise in exporting. So we'll look at our mentor pool and make sure that we have the diversity that we need there. So always looking to make sure that our program and our mentor is meeting the needs of our entrepreneurs for sure.
Were there any specific KPIs?
Not really, other than the entrepreneurs meeting their goal. That's our very specific one. We look at mentor retention, and we also look at our recruitment levels, which generally come by referrals. But yeah, typically it's based on what the entrepreneur is seeing as progress.
So what we've used is Net Promoter Score from entrepreneurs as well as from mentors. Like, how likely would you recommend our program to friends and colleagues? But there are also, in the case of Innovate Charlotte, where external stakeholders like the city of Charlotte was funding the program. So they wanted to see some diversity metrics so that the program was representative of the community, and they wanted to see a symmetric around like revenue growth, employment or job creation growth. So in terms of programs you were involved with, were there such stakeholders with their agendas which might not necessarily be closely tied to entrepreneurs meeting their specific goals?
We did have some of that criteria. We basically would screen the entrepreneurs based on some of that. For example, high growth is something we're looking at 20% year over year. So we tried to, screen the entrepreneurs in our team mentorship program a little bit that way. This is what we consider high growth. Of course, there's gray areas on either side. We also looked at businesses that are going to contribute to the tax base. So if it's a home-based business, do they have goals to move into a storefront? Is this business not going to always be a side hustle? Are you looking for it to be a full-time gig for you? So we did a lot of our partner, metrics based on our screening of our entrepreneurs a lot of the time.
You mentioned the process and how you are very passionate about the process, the role of the process, and you spend the first program like a year on researching the process and ideas. What does it take in terms of resources, such as people, technology, and everything to run a successful mentorship program?
Yeah, we had, when we first started, we had 4 people working on our program. And again, just like any startup, it's very time intensive. It's very, figuring out as you go. I mean, we have some processes, but along the way, that's not working. So we have to figure out something a little bit different. And we had all of our people assigned to different areas. So we had one person that just worked with the mentors. We had another person that just worked with the entrepreneurs. We had another person that worked with all the training and the online and the in-person. So it was a concentrated human resource effort in that first year. And we did put a monetary value on it. We were looking at, and again, reporting back to our stakeholders, and so we calculated it was over $100,000 in staff time alone just to build and develop that program over that year, and then execute it in the first year as well. We took an incredible amount of time to set up and establish. But again, just like any small business, we had our plan, and sometimes that plan wasn't working. So we had to make adjustments and fine tune, and working together with those 4 people was great because we had a lot of different perspectives and different ways and different thinking to really refine everything. And we found after 3 years that everything started running really well. So again, we tell small businesses that, those first 3 years are the toughest, and we know because, similarly, we've been like that. We also had to become a sustainable program. Our partners pitched in the staff time, but everything else we had to fund. And after 3 years, we were self-sustaining, running on local sponsorship. So we had a very small budget, of course, but having that sponsorship and that sustainability is why it's been around for 10 years.
In terms of technology, is it important? Should a program invest in technology, or you can get away with like essentially simple combination of tools and invest in other areas of the program?
Having worked for nonprofits for the majority of my year, we've always had to make do. We've always had to get by with some simple tools or things that we can manage. I don't disagree that there are technologies that you can invest in that, you know, are make better use of HR time. We do spend a lot of time tracking data, entering data. We have a lot of paperwork that's not really paper anymore. I mean, it's all done electronically. So technology has helped immensely there. But there are definitely better ways to do things. And I think as people are invested in these programs and understand that technology can definitely be time saving, I think it's worth investing in. We've already found that just like as we're doing here, Zoom or Teams or whatever virtual meeting platform is a huge time saver. We find that our mentors can be anywhere in the world and pop into a meeting, whereas kind of before COVID, nobody really did that very much anyway. And now it's become more of our norm. And I think that will also happen with other forms of technology. We see the use of Teams or Google or other platforms that are making things better. And I think people are more open to adopting and making their lives easier.
So I wanted to get your perspective, putting on your mentor hat for what I'm doing, because the technology that we're building with Traction 5, it's not designed just to save time, but it's designed to kind of enable the process that is fairly easy, like hygiene process, like following up with founders, following up with mentors, collecting applications and timely responding to them, scheduling meetings quickly and making sure that everyone is meeting, making sure everyone is assigned, like just those five very tactical items that are not super challenging in themselves, but in a day-to-day of running the program, they get lost. And what I'm seeing when people get overwhelmed, these are the areas that usually kind of start falling and you don't notice that the program is deteriorating, but you can if you look at those like leading indicators. So I'm trying to pitch programs on this versus just time saving, like making sure that there is hygiene and the basics are covered and everyone can see it. What would you say about this approach? Should I tweak it? Should I focus on other pain points when I'm talking about like my product, which is a startup solution for mentorship programs?
Well, I think that, you know, I like your word of hygiene and, you know, making sure that those things are taken care of. But I guess that most of the time the coordinators are doing those things and they're following up. And I think that it's still time-saving in the fact that the coordinators don't have to do that anymore. It becomes a little bit more intuitive. And I think you're right. It makes the program run a lot cleaner and a lot smoother with a lot less back and forth. But I just think it takes a little time and a little perseverance as far as getting people onboarded. It took a pandemic to start us off on this path. So hopefully that's not going to happen for you.
One thing I wanted to kind of ask you about this program coordinator role, because to me, what I've seen, it's not just doing this technical things. It's also building relationships so that people kind of trust you, they respond to you, they respect you. So what advice would you give to someone like starting a program or looking to hire the right team for the program? How do you approach that choice of people? And is it true that you can get by with a very technical person, or do you need someone more like people oriented?
More coordinator role? I think you have to have the right, definitely the right person. Being technical and detail oriented is definitely a bonus. However, you hit the nail on the head there. It is so important to have that relationship, to be able to have the mentors trust you and want to be a part of your program. If they just feel like they're a number in a spreadsheet and you're just manipulating things around, that's not going to work either, right? Mentors have to feel like they're making a difference. Well, you know, 99.9% of the time they definitely are. And, you know, sharing the human side of things, dealing with emotions. Business can be so emotional. You know, when it's great, it's great. When it's not, it's certainly not. And we've talked about mental wellness of our business community an awful lot, and being isolated and how those mentors can help deal with that. So being a technical person does help, but having that connection and that genuine interest in building a better business community with people, not just technology, I think is really important. I think if you can put a few people together that have complementary skills, that's always the best plan.
I love it. I agree with you that it's not a one-man job to run a mentorship program. Usually it requires a team, even if some of those people are volunteer mentors themselves who help with the running of the program. So I wanted to ask how, like in your mentorship programs, could you talk about some success stories, especially around doing the right match between mentors and mentees? Could you share an example from your experience?
We have a pretty neat process, I guess, of matching our entrepreneurs with their mentors. And this is our one-to-one program. We look at the mentor strengths, we look at the entrepreneur needs, and then we also do something similar to speed dating, where all of the entrepreneurs and all the mentors meet for about 5 minutes. And it's a very full evening of talking and just getting to know each other. It's not about pitching your business. It's about asking, you know, maybe some questions about the business or a little bit about it, but it's really about that connection with each other. And we don't allow the mentors or the entrepreneurs specifically to pick each other, but the coordinators do take into consideration. We allow them to say, okay, this would be my top three that I want to work with, and these would be the people I don't want to work with. And it's not because they don't like them, or maybe they don't have any particular interest in their business, or maybe there's a conflict of interest because, you know, perhaps, I don't know, maybe their son's soccer coach and they're just like, eh, we just don't want to go there. So part of our matching also deals with who don't you want to work with? And that helps mitigate a lot of our problems. One of my very favorite matches was between a chiropractor and the owner of a business who manufactures air compressors. And they both looked at us and said, we're not sure how we're getting this. Well, the compatibility, they both liked each other in the speed dating. And our air compressor manufacturer had built and sold many, you know, businesses in his 30-year career. He'd gone through a lot of expansion. He'd gone through tough economic times. And our chiropractor, she was looking at expanding her business. She wanted to buy a building. She wanted to hire more staff. And that was definitely something he knew how to do. So our mentor didn't need to know how to be a chiropractor. And our entrepreneur didn't need to know anything about the compressor business, but what they needed to talk about was how to do business expansion. And no matter what kind of business that you're in, there are certain benchmarks and certain markers that you look for to that tell you you're ready for that expansion. And we put them together and it was magic. They hit it off. They work so well together. And we do follow up with our businesses 1 year after they finish in our program formally. And in that year, she achieved her expansion goals. She bought her own building. She hired more staff. She created a lot of sustainable processes that she started building with her mentor. And they still meet for coffee today. So it, I guess, we always say, trust us. You know, we know what we're doing. We've been doing this for 10 years and we know, you know, how the magic works. So that is definitely one of my favorite things, is making sure that you are pairing with needs and skills and that personality factor doesn't hurt.
Thank you so much for sharing that story. The last question I have for mentorship programs specifically is about starting from scratch. If someone is considering doing a mentorship program, what's the time frame for this project, and what advice would you give them?
I guess having done one from scratch, like I said, it took us kind of a year to put together, but we did take our time. It wasn't our sole focus. We all had other things that were going on in our professional lives that we had to take care of. And so that's why we took a little bit longer that way. I mean, if somebody was focused on it full time, it could be a little bit shorter. There are prepackaged options out there, like MIT. That's a fantastic option. You can do it that way, I guess. And I don't know, I guess some advice would be picky. You have to be quite particular about who you work with, who your mentors are. Not everyone is a great mentor. Perhaps they don't have the time. Perhaps they don't have, you know, some of the skills that you're looking for. It does take a chunk of commitment, that kind of a thing. So when you're, I don't know, I guess some advice for building your mentor pool is you need to be picky. We always interview everybody in person. We look for that personality connection and make sure that you have some of those processes in place. I guess just like good project management, you look at all the risks and you decide ahead of time how you can mitigate these things. So those principles hold true as well. If you know, you follow those good project management, kind of rules and regulations, it would help you start up a program like this. Definitely talking to other people that run programs, that's where I got the majority of my knowledge when we first started, was other people that are doing something similar. Do they have any best practices or tips or resources that they can share? When we started our one-to-one program, we ended up giving a seminar at a conference. And after that seminar, we had, I don't know how many people come up to us and say, can we do this? Can, you know, how do we get a hold of this kind of thing? And we're like, oh, you know, well, we just spent over a year developing all this, you know, how do we share it? So, you know, those questions start to come up. You find those people that have run similar programs and see if they can share and that kind of a thing. But I guess, yeah, be picky, be particular, and take a little bit of time if you can.
Now, zooming out of mentorship a little bit and looking at the local startup ecosystem, where do you see the role of a mentorship program or several mentorship programs in addition to your courses for entrepreneurs, like course starters, incubators, accelerators? What's the right space, and how do you know if the community needs a mentorship program or perhaps doesn't?
Well, you know, mentorship isn't new. It's been around forever. It just seems that it's become a little bit more mainstream over the past. It seems to be like the new kid on the block. That's pretty cool. So I think there's a space for all of these things. I think a formal mentorship program helps people that may not know how to find a mentor. Often they're scared, or I don't know who to approach. And do you think they want to mentor me? I think that's where formal mentorship programs help entrepreneurs that may be a little bit scared or don't know where to look. And they'll most likely, after their time is completed in this program and they move somewhere else into an incubator, I'm guessing they're going to find their own mentor. They understand how a mentoring relationship works, and the mentorship programs really build that foundation. And when we work mostly with startups, we're asking them to pay it forward into their communities. So a lot of the times when they finish our program, they're like, I can't wait till I can mentor someone in my own business community. You know, I feel that I have benefited so much from this. I can't wait to pay it forward. So I think there's space for it all. I think mentorship is extremely important, and it's not new. It's always been there. I think that just people like us have created something and a program around it, and it's become a little bit more cachet lately.
Yeah, but I think the key word is also structured, because it brings a different flavor, organization, and more of a repeatable process that you can execute with predictable results. Versus me, at the beginning of the journey, I shared trying to do mentorship ad hoc and failing miserably at that. One aspect where I'm thinking regarding Traction 5, I wanted to get your perspective on, is innovation space. Like, innovation teams, unfortunately, don't have a very long life cycle at corporations. So we were supposed to do a pilot project with Novant Health, supporting the innovation lab, and they fired the whole innovation team just recently. But I'm curious, I know there are a lot of players in that space who try to bring like startup methodology to help unlock innovation at the corporate level. And you mentioned you got your MBA before going into the startup ecosystem world. What's your take on this idea of taking the learnings from the entrepreneurial space and those ideas around structured mentorship, team mentorship, and incorporating it into corporate innovation programs? Any thoughts on that?
Often structure and innovation don't necessarily play together nicely. So I think it has to be approached and coached in the right way, that the structure and the technology can help foster the innovation by, you know, taking on some of the other things that just should be automated, that people just spend too much time doing, you know, too much administration kind of time. So I think that it has a place and it can fit. But again, knowing that the innovation space is a little bit, I don't know, a little bit more volatile, and like you've just experienced, fly by night. Okay, they're here, they're gone. Just depending on what's happening in the company. I think that technology can definitely be a good base to help structure some of those things and still help people be innovative and be creative. Perhaps take away some of that, I don't know, other administration things or things that can be a little bit more automated.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your kind of tempered enthusiasm that there might be some room for technology. And this is where Traction 5, my company, is looking to get into. Speaking of like different places where mentorship works, when we talked prior to this conversation, you mentioned that you work with young people. Could you share what kind of work you do there and how transferable are those applications of mentorship to this different group?
Well, I guess for the past, oh my gosh, it's probably going on 15 years now, I've worked with the Rotary Alberta Youth Entrepreneurship Camp. And basically, it's a business boot camp for youth age 13 to 15. We also have a leadership program for youth age 16 to 18 that have been previous campers. We bring them out to a nice rural camp, and we teach them the basics of business. We have 60 youth that don't know each other. They come from all over. They meet each other. They're put into teams. They come up with a business idea. They build a business plan. They pitch their idea to bankers. They get a loan. They build their product. They sell their product, all in 6 days. And we do that within a really fun summer camp setting. So they do get traditional summer camp activities. We have a Burma Bridge. We have zip line. We have paintball. You know, we have big capture the flag games and all those fun things that go on at a traditional summer camp. And we've had incredible success with that. And we bring in volunteers that help mentor these business teams. So again, they're not there to tell them what to do. They're not there to say you should, you shall. They're there to ask questions. They're, you know, okay, well, you've thought about this type of a product. You know, who's going to buy it, and how do you know, and how much do you think you could sell it for, and why do you think a banker would want to invest in this? So they ask them these questions, and you know, get them think, oh, okay, well, nobody wants to buy painted rock. You know, we have to come up with something a little bit different. So again, that mentorship, they guide them through this business process, and they introduce them to the world of entrepreneurship. And this camp, you know, it's celebrating its 25th anniversary this year, which is really exciting. And on the 20th anniversary, we did a study of the economic impact of camp. And of the campers that we surveyed, 30% of those kids that had come to camp had gone on to start a business. And we were absolutely amazed. And we're always about supporting rural. And of those 30%, 60% started a business in a rural area. So we were really hitting the mark of introducing entrepreneurship as a career, and also helping our rural areas stay sustainable with their small businesses. And those mentors that have been involved with the camp, some of our mentors have been with us every single camp. They come back every year because working with these young people is really energizing. And it is a lot of fun. They are very innovative. They are creative thinkers. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of technology because there's no cell service at this camp and there's limited Wi-Fi. So we have to run things very untechnology-like, but we really foster that innovative thinking. And we have our mentors there to guide them along the way. And it's been extremely successful and rewarding.
So if someone wanted to replicate this experience, how much do they have to pay you for the license to run a camp like that?
I don't own the license, so I couldn't do that. But it's priceless, right? As far as I know, we are the only camp like this all across Canada. There are smaller versions, you know, 3-day versions, or maybe they do typical similar programs over evenings or whatnot. But as far as I know, we are the only full week summer camp that runs in Canada.
Very good, Jody. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing your insights on this podcast.
Thank you, Igor. It was great to be here and chatting.